What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Lawyer You Know podcast. And today we're going to break down one of the most high profile celebrity trials going on right now. We're in the middle of the trial, and the most important witness took the stand this week over multiple days, the alleged victim in the case. Both lawyers, especially the defense, believe in order to find guilty for the prosecution, you must believe this victim's testimony. And he says you won't. When I'm done with him on cross-examination, we're going to dig in and do a deep dive into the victim's testimony. Do you believe it? Do you not? Are there issues with it? How will lawyers deal with those issues? And of course, we're going to give you an overview of the case and tell you what's gone on so far at this trial. Let's get to it. So prominent rapper ASAP Rocky is on trial right now, accused of assault with a semi-automatic firearm, the victim being a longtime friend of ASAP Rocky. And this happened just one night in LA after a falling out between these friends. That's the story. That's how the story goes from the victim. Now, to add to this high profile nature, ASAP Rocky's significant other and the mother of his children is Rihanna. And she has been at court, at least part of the victim's testimony. And there have been people in the media saying, are they trying to put pressure on this victim? Are they trying to add to how difficult and how much this victim's life is going to change because of everything going on in this case and what he's accusing ASAP Rocky, rap royalty, and R&B royalty Rihanna of in this scenario? And he mentions on the stand what he knows would happen to him if he were to get in a fight with ASAP Rocky and what has actually happened to him since he's accused ASAP Rocky of this crime. But to add even more intrigue to this case, we have two high-profile lawyers. The prosecutor in this case in LA is the same prosecutor that put Robert Durst behind bars. And the defense attorney, from his own website, is an attorney to the stars. He has represented people like Donald Trump, the NFL Washington Commanders owner Daniel Snyder, Michael Jackson, Alex Rodriguez, Meek Mill, YG, Sean Hannity, Don Imus, Swiss Beats, Neo, Sarah Wallace, and ASAP Rocky. High-profile criminal defense lawyer from New York, a prosecutor who's been doing it for a long time, two very experienced lawyers. We've done other videos on our channel already. If you guys want to go check it out on our YouTube channel, of these lawyers butting heads and battling. And the judge is a no-nonsense judge. He's keeping everybody in check and keeping this trial moving along. And in opening statement, the prosecutor laid out what they believe happened. And it is almost all from the perspective of the victim, ASAP Relly. We'll call him Relly probably throughout this podcast episode. Terrell is his first name. And the defense gets up in their opening statement and says, he's a liar. He's committed perjury. He's going to lie on the stand today. You can't believe him. And if you can't believe him, you can't vote guilty. This whole case comes down to what he says, what he did. And we're going to get into some of the intricacies. The defense is not that he wasn't there, not that ASAP Rocky wasn't there, not that it was somebody else, but that it was a prop gun. And it just sounded like a real gun, but he didn't actually fire any shots. And therefore, he can't be guilty of assault with a semi-automatic firearm because it was not a semi-automatic firearm. The police came. They did an investigation. First couple witnesses kind of talked about that. They didn't find any evidence of a shooting. No casings, no bullet holes in anything around from stray bullets. But the story goes from the prosecution that the victim came back even after the police investigated and found two shell casings, called a lawyer, called the cops. They end up going forward against ASAP Rocky, but we need to confirm this with the actual witness's testimony because opening statements are not evidence. So we got to hear from the witness very early in this trial. He was the third witness to take the stand for the prosecution, and he was on the stand for 3 or 4 days. It has been a ride. So we took our time going through direct examination, the good points, the highlights, if there were them, some of the lowlights and the struggles that ASAP Relly went through explaining what he remembers and what he saw and what he found that proves ASAP Rocky's guilt. But now we're going to take a deep, deep dive into cross-examination, which on Joe Tacopina's website, he says it is his specialty and he teaches this class in law school. And he uses so many different things and presentations and social media and video impeachment, written impeachment, verbal impeachment, cell phone recorded calls impeachment throughout this cross-examination. We're going to dig into the fights between the lawyers. We're going to dig into the fights between Joe Tacopina, the defense lawyer, and ASAP Relly. And we're going to listen to the judge yell at basically everybody in the courtroom throughout this cross-examination. There were so many times I had to back this up and be like, did that really just happen? We're also going to discuss some things that happened off camera that people tweeted about that were in the courtroom for more explosions and more fights. But without further ado, let's get to this cross-examination. And we're going to start right from the jump on day four as ASAP Rocky's lawyer wants to dig in and talk to ASAP Relly about those shell casings that he found at the scene. By the way, the audio is not awesome in the courtroom, and last night happened to be flag football for my son. He had an awesome interception, and my nephew's senior night. He plays on high school basketball team, and he lit it up, so my voice is a little shaky because I was using it big time last night. Let's get into it.
Remember when you came back to the scene on November 6th, 2021?
Yeah.
Like an hour later, whatever that time was, right?
You gotta explain something too fast. You gotta explain what you mean. Like, you're talking about the actual shooting when I went back?
Did you go back to the scene after the incident on November?
I sure did. When the fuck you shoot her.
And within a minute of returning to the scene, how many times did you go back to the scene?
Once.
Oh. Within a minute of returning to the scene, you located the shell casings, correct?
No, not within a minute. I have to take a little while to look for it.
So he says, within a minute, you found the shell casings. He goes, no, it wasn't within a minute. I had to take a little while to look for it. Okay. This is like right at the beginning of Cross. This is just going to give you an example as to how Cross is going to go. And again, Taco Pina in the opening said, he's going to lie. He's going to perjure himself. I'm going to impeach him, all this stuff. Well, guess what? Starting out one for one.
That's why I just said within a minute or two, correct?
I did not trust her. Well, I said within a minute or two, but it took some time. It's not.
So this is unusual, first off. So they're kind of arguing, and the lawyer's like, you said you found it within a minute or two. He's like, no, I took a while. And they both look at the judge, and the judge is like, he said 2 to 3 minutes. That was his testimony yesterday. It's like, first off, is that from the judge's notes? Because that could be imperfect as well. It's not exactly the record. Not saying the judge made a mistake. But to have a judge confirm an answer of 2 to 3 minutes, which also kind of impeaches the witness who just said, no, it took a while. And then he's like, well, yeah, 2 or 3 minutes a while after I started looking. It's like, what? So that's something that happened multiple times throughout this cross-examination. The judge would actually step in and clarify and say, Mr. Relly, whatever his last name is, Efron, did you say X, Y, or Z? That's what he's asking you. And then the witness would talk to the judge, and the lawyer would wait and let the judge clarify his questions and get clarification and try to explain it to the witness, which is interesting to me because, number one, if I'm the defense attorney, I don't know if I want the judge doing that. I want the witness looking like as big of a weasel as I possibly can. But number two, if I'm the state, it's like, judge, if the defense can't figure out how to ask a question the way that gets an answer, why are you stepping in and doing this? Now, in most jurisdictions, judges are allowed to ask questions. It was just very interesting throughout this cross-examination.
Right. I mean, it happened 3 years ago. You asked me 3 years later.
No, they asked that yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, with Jackson now, everything is videotaped in time stamp, so.
Well, there was a videotape, so yesterday, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Anyway, you said yesterday you found those showcases within 2 to 3 minutes of returning to the scene. Did you have a flashlight on you? When you returned?
No.
No, no flashlight.
I used the flashlight on my phone.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. And you know that there were 7 cops there before you were there, correct?
Well, how would I know that?
No one told you?
No, no one told me.
Okay.
So he's like, you didn't even have a flashlight, and you're not a trained cop, and you show up by yourself, and you find it within 2 to 3 minutes. Yet 7 cops cased the scene with flashlights, couldn't find it. Pretty good argument from the defense.
Now, just to clear up one thing. You were asked by the judge, it was 2 days ago, if you would meet with the defense attorney to have an interview, correct? And you said no.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And you understand that's different. Yes, you and I had a meeting, so to speak, that preliminary hearing when you testified like this, right?
Correct.
That was in 2023.
I believe so.
Yeah. There was a judge and prosecutors and some of this, right?
Yes. Okay.
But you were asked to meet with us to do an interview, sitting down just with the defense attorneys, and you said no, correct?
Which is right. Yeah.
Okay. You're here with your lawyers today, right?
Yes.
The lawyers for your civil case.
Yes.
And you've been here with them every single day, right?
Correct.
So he's here with the lawyers from his civil case. They've been here with him every single day. defense attorneys or any attorney where a witness or a victim has lawyers there, they love to point it out, because so many people think if you have a lawyer, either you've done something wrong or you're doing something shady trying to extort somebody out of money if you have civil lawyers, which is pretty much what Tocopina is doing here, which I always hate when lawyers do that. I get it, but I hate when lawyers do it because what do you think we're doing there, right? We're representing a client. So does that mean he's doing something wrong or she's doing something wrong? So don't necessarily love it, but I get it. And I believe, I've been told and been shown pictures, I have not confirmed this myself, that his civil lawyers are none other than Ben Chu and Camille Vasquez. Now, I also don't know, because there's multiple civil cases like against Rocky. I've heard there's a defamation case against this lawyer, I think, that Relly filed, which adds a whole other dynamic, especially when we think about what's going on with Blake Lively trying to block depositions from certain lawyers in a case. But there is so much going on in the background of this case that I think Tocopina is trying to use as, this is all BS. This is all a circus and a show for this guy to get money. Those lawyers back there are what he really wants, is for them to get him his $30 million. He doesn't even care about this case. And that's a theme throughout Cross.
You've met many times with law enforcement over the last several years.
I'm going to say I met with them many times. They called me, probably met when, I don't remember, within 3 years.
Well, when's the last time you met with the prosecutors here?
When I flew in.
What was that?
Probably like 2 days ago.
Okay. So before your testimony, obviously.
Yeah.
And what about your private attorneys? You met with them to prepare for your testimony?
I didn't need to prepare.
You didn't need to prepare?
No. Okay.
So you didn't need your private attorneys at all, discuss your testimony?
I don't need to.
I understand you don't need. The question was different.
Possibly, yes, sir.
Oh, wait, say the question again, Joyce?
You did not meet with your private attorneys who flew here with you in preparation for your testimony?
No, they just here to support me.
No, they're just here to support me. And honestly, I kind of believe him that he didn't prep with them. With how poorly his direct went, how poorly this cross is going to go for him, and even the redirect, I was like, I really don't think that his civil attorneys prepped him. I would hope they would at least talk to him, but a lot of times prosecutors want to handle their case and they don't want civil lawyers stepping on their toes, but he did not seem well prepared for this.
I don't need to prep.
It's not responsive. Everything after no, sir.
He constantly says, I don't remember. What is that? I don't know what this is. This isn't me, but I don't need to prep. It's like, again, it's another one of those misnomers to me, that it's not a bad thing if you prepare for your testimony. This is very serious. You almost got shot, or you did get shot. This is very serious to you. You want to make sure you get it right. You want to make sure you're doing the right things. You want to make sure you don't put your foot in your mouth. So prepping is not a bad thing. If you're going to court, it's not a normal way to have a conversation. It's not a normal way to tell your story when you're in court with professional question askers asking you questions, trying to direct you where they want to take you. It's okay to prep. So for witnesses to think prep is a dirty thing or a dirty word, and some lawyers try to make it seem that way, it can get you into trouble sometimes if you don't prep enough.
Now, yesterday, you testified that before the shooting, you had nothing but love for Rocky, right?
Correct.
And you said that if you said the word fuck to Rocky, it was with love, right?
I don't know what you mean by that. You got to explain again.
No, I don't. I'll tell you your testimony.
Go ahead.
Take a look at you.
This is one of those weird things. And by the way, you can notice the curse words, the N words that just come out of everybody's mouth throughout this whole trial. That starts to shift because the judge steps in. I don't know if somebody asked the judge or if the judge was just like, hey, can we stop? Can we just say the first letter of whatever word you're going to say or spell the word or whatever it is? So we stop just, you know, going wild like this in open court. Hopefully it wasn't a juror that said something, because if they did, that's not a great sign that the jurors are like feeling offended or uncomfortable with the language being used. But that's just not good for everybody, because you never know what that could make a jury think in their mind if they don't like one side now over the other. But I thought it was cool that because we have these trials streaming, Joe Tocopina, cutting edge, probably has some help in his office with this stuff, but using the video of what he said literally just a day or two ago and playing it back for him, because it's very hard to argue when you have your face and your voice talking, because he's going to argue many things are not him, this witness, but he can put it right in front of him for the jury to see. And this was one of the weird moments where he was like, if I say F you, it's out of love. It's like, what? That doesn't make any sense. But I like the use of this streaming video as impeachment. Some courts, I don't think, would let you do that. You should be able to, but sometimes you don't have enough time to like share it with the other side and, you know, make sure it's all good and what you're showing is actually appropriate and actually is a correct representation of what the record is. But I think it's great. I think they should be able to use it. I think it's the quickest and easiest way to do it because you can't, sometimes you can pay for same day transcription in a trial and it where a court reporter, a separate court reporter that you pay separately transcribes the whole thing and gives it to you every day. You can do that. It's crazy expensive. We have done it in trials before. But only in certain trials because it's just so expensive. And again, this audio is horrible because it's like bad audio. Playing bad audio, but basically he said, if I say F you, it's kind of like in love, you know? And this is the lawyer right now is trying to impeach Relly on him saying he didn't have any problems with Rocky. They were all good. It was all love until this incident. Rocky had problems with him, just wasn't true based on these texts. And that's what he's going through to impeach him on that frame of reference.
Okay,
that
was your testimony. Yeah, but you can bring up the actual text message that I'm talking.
Hold on. When anybody asks you a question, you the lawyers, just answer the question. Don't volunteer something. If they want to flesh it out more, the lawyer might want to do it, Mr. Tapatina might want to do it, then it's okay. But if you're asked a yes or no question, just the answer is either yes, no, I don't remember, or I don't know. Don't volunteer anything, right?
Yes.
And this judge constantly is telling the witness, it's a yes or no question. Don't ask him questions. It's his job to ask questions. He keeps having to step in because they keep arguing because really he's like, just bring up the text messages and we don't have to argue about this. And he does stuff like that throughout.
Well, did you hear your testimony?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. And when you said, if I said, fuck you, it was with love, right? That's what you just said.
I don't get what you're saying. Sorry.
What did you hear yourself just
say? I don't get what you're saying.
Here's my question. Here comes. What did you hear yourself just say?
But what are you getting at? I don't get what you're saying.
More about what I'm getting at.
So once again, he's refusing to answer the question because he's like, I don't get what you're saying. He's trying to act confused. The judge again has to step in and be like, answer the question. So when you start to look sneaky and evasive as a witness so that the judge in the first 10 minutes of your testimony on cross, everything was fine on direct, but on cross, if the judge has to continue to step in and tell you, listen and just answer. Stop arguing with him. Stop saying things to him that are not answers to the question. Yes, no, I don't know, I don't recall. If you want to explain your answer, fine. But the judge constantly having to do this, this is all being done in front of the jury. Not good for this witness.
All right, let me just listen. He's asking you, did you hear your testimony?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he's just asking you.
Did I say it? Did I say, I don't know, can you explain the question?
Say it again.
No, I want to ask you a question.
Listen to the
team. I know that question is, I always come up with
it. What you said, you just saw it.
So they watch the video, and now this is when the judge, once again, is going to step in, clarify what Joe Tacopina is asking, and try to get the witness to answer. This is incredibly unusual for a judge. Frankly, I think it did make it go a little bit smoother, but if I'm the defense attorney, I kind of want the jury to see this guy squirm and see him try to weasel his way out of answering a question we all know. Nobody says that in love. Nobody says these types of things that you're saying about Rocky in the text messages out of love. You had a problem with him. Doesn't mean he didn't shoot at you, right? That's what I don't like about when witnesses try to argue about things that are not important to the ultimate issue in the case. Let the lawyer look like the bad guy. Let the lawyer look like he's trying to distract the jury with smoke and mirrors. Don't make you look like the bad guy because you're lying about things that don't matter. I'm not saying he's lying. I'm saying if you're a witness and you're going to try to weasel out, or even if you're going to lie, because some witnesses lie, when you do it about things that don't matter, it's like twice as bad.
Just wants to ask you questions about what you said. You just saw
it. That's truth or testimony.
Truthful. Can you explain the question again? I don't know what I'm saying. Yes or no?
I just see yourself.
No, but you're not explaining the question.
Here's my question.
I see myself, but you're not explaining. So what I'm supposed to say is
just
say
yourself.
No to.
You're not yourself. You see yourself.
That's I see myself.
Did you hear yourself?
I heard myself.
Was that truthful?
What's truthful?
What you just said?
That I love him or like he was cool? I don't know what you mean.
I said a lot of things. The part that you said, if I said, fuck you, it was sort of wishy-washy with love, you know? That part, okay, that was true.
True. Yeah.
In fact, on September 18th, 2021, at 8:19 a.m., you catch Rocky, fuck everything about you, fake-ass gay nigga, right?
Of course not.
Of course not? Okay. Let's show you what that does, John.
So he says, F everything about you with, you know, expletives and derogatory terms towards Rocky. And he's like, did you text that to Rocky in September of 21? Because again, he's trying to prove it was not a loving relationship on your end. He said, of course not. I didn't text him that. Well, guess what? They had the video to impeach him. They got text messages to impeach him. They got Instagram to impeach him. They got recorded phone calls to impeach him. Every which way you can possibly impeach a witness, Joe Tacopina does it in this cross-examination. I get people that don't like his style, and sometimes it can be over the top. Sometimes I think certain jurors will not like how forceful he is, maybe even his eye rolls and his boo-hoos and whatever he's doing. But in this cross-examination, he uses a lot of different ways, and you can tell he and his team have done a ton of research to prove their points, and they knew that Relly was not going to be able to contain himself. He had to argue. He was going to say he didn't do things that they know he did, and they come with the receipts and the goods here and show him some text messages.
Take a look at that one.
What this is that? Is it legitimate?
Yes.
Ben Relly. Hold on. This is the defense. Susan's right.
September 18th, 2021, 8:19 a.m. No matter how much the nigga tried, you not charged by anything, changing. Fuck everything about you, you fake ass nigga. I dead hate you. Sucker ass guy nigga that you changed got to get. Remember sending that message?
Bro, this is in 21.
I understand. Everything we're talking about here today is in 21. Every text message he had showed me yesterday was in 21.
Yeah, but you're asking me now, but remember, you're not showing me nothing else that came into the text message, so I probably did write that. Is that for me?
That's for me. Okay, that's cool. Okay. Yeah. So was that, wishy washy with love when you wrote that?
I mean, you're not showing me the rest of the conversation, so I can't really.
Was that wishy washy with love?
Yes.
Sucker ass game.
Yes.
That was
with love. I'm trying not to laugh, but he's like, Taco Pina's like, so you said that with love? He's like, yes. And he's saying it with a straight face. This witness is saying that text message with that was made with love with a straight face. And then what made me laugh is Taco Pina said it again. You fake ass, you know, N-word, dead, I hate you. Was that said with love? It's like, yes. And he just kept saying yes as if that was going to make it true. It's like, dude, don't look over here at this jury and take them for morons. They all know that's not true. And if they think you're lying about this, then maybe they're going to think you're lying about the shell casings and about the real gun and about it grazing your hand and about the important facts that you need to prove in this case. It doesn't matter if you hated Rocky. He obviously hated you. If you guys hated each other, frankly, that makes it even more potentially true that he committed this crime with you as the victim. So again, I just don't get why he's fighting these issues in a way where somebody who is much more experienced and well-trained at making you look like a liar when you actually look at something and say it doesn't say what it says. Tough start. Tough start for Relly on cross. Then they start getting into money and the fact that money's important to him. He says, no, of course not. He starts talking about Wale, which I don't know if it's like the Wale, the rapper, who I think has a song with Rihanna. But if it's him or if it's somebody else, a different friend with the same name, but they start getting into conversations like that, which will become more important later. And then they get into his story on Instagram called quote unquote lifestyle. You know, you can have those different stories that you name different things. And he starts getting into some of the things he posted on Instagram, which again, is money important to you? Just saying yes is okay. It doesn't make you a bad person, especially in this industry, right? Where money, they all talk about money in the entertainment industry, right? It's important to it's important to most people across the world, at least to some aspect in varying degrees. But if you have Instagram posts like this and then you say money's not important to you, again, it just makes you look bad. And you shouldn't give them any opportunity to make you look bad when your credibility is at the forefront of this case. So let's get into Taco Pina talking about his Instagram story. And you can tell Relly gets more and more annoyed the more they talk about Instagram, the more they impeach him. And the more you do that, the more it just makes a lawyer want to dig into your Instagram and talk about it even more.
Again, going back to this, because you just told this jury that portraying a lavish lifestyle of extreme wealth is not important to you.
I mean, it's not. It's so much other important things in life, but I mean, you need money.
Okay.
I agree with that. There's a lot more important things in life, but you need money. But it's okay to be like, yeah, I was trying to make as much money as I could.
There is a, on that lifestyle portion of your Instagram, is a several photos. I'm going to show you a few. One is the fence.
Next door? Yeah.
That's something you posted, right?
What is it?
Okay. It's a photo from his Instagram live show. It's one of the seven.
Dated
December. We'll get to the date. So I'll be working with that one. December 29th, 2022. That's you posting the Crocs jacket, right?
Okay.
And what you wrote there.
This is stupid, by the way. If he was just like, yeah, I like Prada jackets. Yeah, I wrote this stuff to try to sound cool. Like, big deal. But again, just like he said, when somebody, from his own words, somebody's holding a firearm at you and he said, use it because he would rather go 6 feet deep with his dignity or whatever. I think he doesn't want to sound like a poser. And so he's arguing with the lawyer about, again, who cares if you posted a Prada jacket? Who cares if you said, if you ain't about the money, I'm not with you or what? Who cares? Like, I'm trying to sound cool on Instagram. Like, that's a totally normal response that I think a jury would understand. And if I was the prosecutor, I would be able to make that argument pretty easily in closing argument. It's like, big deal. He was trying to sound cool. Who isn't trying to sound cool on Instagram? But instead, he argues with the lawyer.
Our jacket, right? Okay. And what you wrote there, if it ain't about money, ain't liking you.
So it's Lincoln.
Ain't Lincoln.
So then the prosecutor, who also inappropriately pipes in a million times trying to correct what Joe Tacopina is saying, just like this, there's text on the screen. He said, if it ain't about money, it ain't like, I ain't liking you. L-I-K-I-N, right? That is liking. Last I checked, licking is L-I-C-K-I-N, right? I mean, I think I'm right. I actually didn't like look this stuff up, but just how my brain works, liking is L-I-K-I-N-G. So licking is L-I-C-K-I-N-G. So if we just drop the G, this definitely is liking, but the prosecutor pipes in and says it's licking, which is even weirder and makes less sense. But because the prosecutor said it, the witness starts to agree with it. And this is just off the rails. It's just off the rails because they're arguing with every little thing. Every little thing they're trying to argue with, to me, just makes it all look worse.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you show on my Instagram? I'm already getting death threats. People threatening my daughter. Like, what's going on here? The whole world.
The world threatening you?
The whole world. Because what you're saying.
Because I ask you a question.
Because you're saying I'm extortionist and all of this and putting my whole life on.
All right, a lot just happened there. So again, this was one of the million times I felt like I had to back it up. I was like, whoa, 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 what just happened? So they, 1 minute we're talking about a Prada jacket. If you ain't about money, I ain't liking you. And then he's like, the whole world is after me. The whole world is threatening me because you're out there calling me an extortionist. And I was like, oh, wow. Maybe that has to do with the defamation suit. I don't know. I haven't read the defamation suit, but he literally is saying this lawyer now is ruining his life because of everything he's saying about him publicly. And then the judge pipes in, poor judge. He's trying to like keep things calm. He's like, nobody's calling you an extortionist. Yeah, they are, Judge. Joe Tacopina, I'm pretty sure he, if he didn't say the word extortionist, he sure made me think it in his opening statement. And with his line of questioning, he certainly makes you feel like Relly is an extortionist.
Because what you're saying.
Because
you're saying I'm extortionist and all of this, you're putting my whole life on.
No, this is really annoying. No one is calling you an extortionist. You're going to get through a lot faster if you just answer the questions. If somebody asks an improper question, I won't allow it to go forward. If you're being asked a question that's lawful in a courtroom, just answer it. Even if it makes you mad, even if you don't see the point of it, just answer the questions as truthfully as you can, regardless of who asks.
Yikes. Now that comment by the judge, if the jury's listening, because all this is happening, they do way too much lawyer and legal talk in front of the jury, including this judge, in my opinion. Because right there, he's like, I'm not going to allow bad questions. So if it's a question that comes in, you have to answer it. And even answer it, even if it makes you mad, yikes. And answer it truthfully and honestly, no matter which lawyer asks it to you. Ouch. If I'm the defense, I might even bring that up because the judge said it on the record. I might be like, in closing, be like, when Relly was on the stand, the judge even had to tell him, whichever lawyer asks you the question, you still have to answer truthfully and honestly. Did you guys all notice a difference? between when that lawyer asked him questions and when I asked him questions, you probably can't say even the judge noticed the difference. You probably can't go that far. But the judge did instruct him, regardless of which lawyer, because it's obvious there's a pretty big difference between how he answers questions depending on which lawyer's asking. All right. So Relly really, you know, continues to complain about him using his Instagram. Then he starts asking, did some woman give you $24,000? He's just trying to prove, basically, Relly had no money. He had like $600 in his bank account. Embarrassing Relly, frankly. I thought maybe this was a little bit too far, but this lawyer is going for the jugular. Starts talking about, so this was a really good line of questioning, I thought. He starts talking about, oh, Relly said he had meetings. Like, this ruined his life. He had meetings with all these record labels. He's like, which record labels? Because he obviously doesn't believe him. Relly's like, I don't know, a bunch of them. He's like, which ones? And he's like, Capitol, Universal. And the lawyer's like, well, who did you meet with at those record labels? And Relly, of course, couldn't remember. I don't know Relly. I don't know the situation. It definitely, if I'm a juror, I'm like, I don't believe him. I don't believe that he was meeting with these big record labels. Maybe he was, but he doesn't remember anything about them. That'd be pretty big meetings. Like, if I met with them, I'd be like, oh, it's so crazy. I met with Mr. Johnson from Capitol Records or whatever. You know, you'd remember that meeting if it was a real meeting with Capitol Records, I would think. He doesn't, even 3 years ago, big deal. I remember plenty of meetings from years ago if they're big meetings. Judge has been, the state objects a million times. The judge overrules him usually quickly and is like, you'll have your chance, chill. It's also the lead prosecutor is doing all the objecting and arguing. The other prosecutor, and I'm calling him lead, he's the older prosecutor, the younger prosecutor is doing a lot of the questioning, which is also unusual. Usually one lawyer has to handle both, but the judge, I think, made a mistake saying, no, you both can object and argue, because I think if he wouldn't have had the older prosecutor doing all this arguing, it'd be a lot less chaos, but that's what's happening here. We'll listen to a little bit of him drilling into, you know, what he's lost as a result of, you know, all of this happening.
With all the labels I just told you, there's other labels too. I could probably find for you.
You had a deal.
I didn't have a deal. I was seeking a deal for a joint venture. I could have had a deal a long time ago, but I created a whole company, which I wanted a joint venture instead of just selling off my artists.
All right. So what specific deal you testified that deals were like? What other deals were like?
I mean, everything. All my artists turned on me. My own A-type friends turned on me. Everybody.
Well, which artists left you after this incident?
My producers.
Maybe artists.
Do you have any names?
Yeah.
Who's the artist? I'd rather not name any names.
So we get three of us. Regarding specific. Overall. Mr. Tackett is entitled to explore areas. Mr. Tackett testified to it yesterday.
And now he's like, I had large artists leave me. He's like, who? Tell me who. And he clearly doesn't want to. And again, this is what sucks, right? This is what sucks about being a victim in a case. You're supposed to be the victim. Your life gets torn apart. They try to make you look like a liar. They embarrass you. They make you tell all this stuff. And it really sucks. It really sucks. But once you go so far down a line where it feels like you're not being truthful about so many little details, you have the right to prove this guy maybe he's not telling the truth about what he lost, what happened, who he was, what he was doing, and why he's doing all of this. And that's where we've gotten. It's always got to be a balance, and sometimes it's really tough.
Like this. Stage name or like any
stage?
Cash was one of my performing artists.
So he names a couple. He talks about the fact that, you know, Tacopina and ASAP Rocky and all this publicity around this. And Tacopina tries to ask him questions like, well, no, you and your people actually promoted this and publicized this. Victim clearly denies that. And then we're going to get into, you know, another little scuffle between the two lawyers that the judge has to handle.
Your Honor, the court made a ruling yesterday about recording. You don't have to do that. Just play for him. Play. Does that have speakers? Play for him there. So
what's happening now is the defense attorney is trying to play a recording. I think it's of him talking about potentially publicizing this. I don't really know. We couldn't hear it great. And it doesn't end up coming in. You'll see why. But he's going to play a recording for him and ask Relly, is that you on the recording? And interesting things happen. First off, the prosecutor's trying to block it altogether. Second, when they play it for him to determine it's him, the jury can hear it. I'm like, what is happening? A couple other times he puts headphones on, but for this, they just play it in front of the jury, and then you'll hear the interaction between Taco Pina and the witness.
Just so he can hear the voices. It doesn't have to be broadcasted at this point over the loudspeaker system.
Your Honor, before it's played.
No.
The prosecutor keeps arguing. The judge is like, no. But the prosecutor's right. It's like you shouldn't even play it through the computer speakers if the jury can hear it. So don't play it through the loudspeaker, but you can clearly hear it. I shouldn't say clearly. I can't clearly hear it. It's audible, some noise in the courtroom, I should say.
I'm just what the court's ruling was. No fault on either be played. And that's our foundation that both sides knew was being recorded. So,
yeah, I didn't report the right.
So, stop making speaking objections.
Trying to argue to the jury, right? He's trying to argue things so the jury can hear him argue them as to why this is not reliable.
Let's find out if Mr. Efron recognizes the voices on the phone.
That's not me.
That's fake. That's what he says. And then you can, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see Taco Pina walking back, clearly laughing, giggling. It's like, oh, this guy will lie about anything. And here's the thing. My guess is the defense is going to have witnesses saying, yes, this was me. Yes, Relly told me this. Yes, we recorded it, and potentially try to get it in that way and say, yeah, that is Relly. We'll see if the judge lets it in. But this is one of many times that they have recordings that they say is Relly that Relly says is not him. And so he starts talking about how they're faking it. They're creating stuff. And if they are, that's horrible. That's fraud. They should be punished for that. If they're not, once again, not a good look for Relly.
No editorializing. He says it's not him.
Go on, something else.
Can I finish hearing it? After he says it's fake, Relly's like, well, hold on a second. Can I finish hearing it? The judge is like, no, you said it wasn't you. Even the judge to me, if we gave him truth serum, I'm pretty sure he doesn't believe most of what Relly is saying. Does that mean there was no crime here? No, that's not what it means. But the defense is doing a very good job of making Relly look like he's not generally honest.
There's no need to, because you said it's not you.
I wouldn't have been sure, though, because
you said it's not you, so it doesn't matter. Go on to something else.
Just be clear, that's not your voice.
I would love to hear it again.
No.
Oh, you're not sure?
I would love to hear it again for
2 seconds.
Might be your voice?
No, I would just love to hear it again, because I never had this conversation with Wilder.
Okay, all right. Then if it's not you, then it's not you. I want to say something else.
So it's, can I hear it again? Well, do you think it could be your voice? Well, I just want to hear the rest of the conversation. So could it be you? No, it's definitely not me. I just want to hear it because I know I never had that conversation with him again. Then why do you want to hear it again? And by the way, all of this is happening in front of the jury. The jury is, it feels like this is some kind of proffer outside the presence of the jury, but the jury's in there. Unless I miss them leaving, the jury's in there listening to all of this.
It depends on where the recordings were made. If the recording was made outside of California, it could well be that it might be a one consent state or maybe a two consent state.
This is a New York recording made of course New York law, just one consent state.
Right, then it would be admissible. It would not be concluded by Penal Code Section 632.
Okay. So, you remember telling Ms. Parker that your light is fake?
Sustained as to the form of the question.
Okay. In 2021, August 5th, the exact, did you tell Ms. Parker that your light is fake?
Objection, relevant.
Sustained.
Sustained.
I don't recall.
No. Sustained.
Sustained. No, actually. Right. The form for.
Whether he said his life was fake or not has no bearing on any issue that's before the jury.
True, totally irrelevant. But at this point, you've let him. I think he's let the defense get into a lot of irrelevant testimony just to impeach Relly. I think it went too far in certain areas. But I get it, because there's also the element that the defense, part of their defense is he's just doing this for money. So, you know, some of the money discussion, I guess I get why that's relevant.
Yes. Well, you pulled Rocky's life fake yesterday, right? Did you?
I don't remember.
You don't understand.
Chef, I got to talk to you, Mike.
I don't remember. I want to ask a question. I'm just not sure if this was awful.
The defense, when this defense attorney says, I want to ask a question, but Your Honor, I'm not sure if it's off limits, chances are it's the prosecutor is going to think it's off limits.
Yes.
So he goes and asks the prosecutor.
Well, His Honor said it's off limits, but I'm not sure you will.
So then he sarcastically says, after the prosecutor says clearly no, the defense attorney's like, well, His Honor said it's off limits. And it's like, he's joking, saying, well, now I guess he's the judge. And then we get into another spat between the lawyers that the judge has to yell at them like they're children and like we're in class. And even as the camera pans away, you can hear the judge yelling at him. We're going to just listen to it for 30 seconds here.
Well, His Honor said it's off limits, but I'm not sure you will.
Again,
you got to come.
All right. I'm not His Honor, so you should not.
Then
you should
rule.
Can you two stop squabbling? Doesn't have to be on the record. Stop.
Even at sidebar, he's like, stop. What are you guys doing? There's more unprofessional things happening, like Taco Pina at one point pulls up an exhibit and then takes it down, and you can see the index of all of his exhibits. They're really small, but that shouldn't be on the big screen published to the jury. The prosecutor blows up. Taco Pina's like, relax. You think they can see those little things? They're so small. You absolutely should not publish that in front of the jury, but you definitely shouldn't be yelling at each other in front of the jury. I feel like this judge has done as well as he can, but I think he talks too much in front of the jury as well. And so it creates kind of the vibe in the courtroom, and way too much extrajudicial conversation is happening that should not be presented in front of the jury. Basically just evidence, questions, answers, objections, and the reason for the objection, not a speaking objection, and the judge's ruling, overruled or sustained, should really be it. That really should be the only things coming in front of the jury, because all this other arguing, jurors are not supposed to make the decision on which lawyer they like better or which lawyer they think the judge likes better. And with all this extra conversation, sometimes I do think that it gives the jury more information to try to deal with and parse through than the evidence that's supposed to be presented to them. I really like the judge's demeanor. I like how he's not afraid to make the call. That's my favorite thing about a judge. Make a decision and stick to it. I just wish less was going in front of the hearing of the jury. Okay, a long break. The witness that keeps saying, I don't recall, I don't recall, I don't recall. After the break, I feel like that happened a lot more. He even said at one point, I don't know how many times I can say I don't recall. We'll listen to just kind of a little example of that to give you guys a taste of it.
So I said, I think that's what I wrote, but in the trend, like, that's what I meant to write was I'm getting irritated. But then you said, I'm getting rich. And that's when me and you started arguing at the preliminary hearing. Like you was trying to get something out of me and something wild out of me.
So you meant the right word irritated.
When I first spoke to his manager, I don't remember what I wrote, but from what is there, yeah.
Well, you saw the word bitch, right?
So that's, I mean, but you put this so many times. That was a fast moment. You can't make me go back and think like something that I don't really, I definitely won't write his manager in the context. If you show the whole text message, where would it make sense? I'm getting rich.
Okay. All right.
You're not showing the whole text message. So it's picking.
You saw this message yesterday.
I mean, if you want to pull up John's text messages, we can.
Okay, thank you, sir. So what you're saying to this jury is that you didn't mean to write that you were getting rich, right?
I don't recall.
Okay. You're not saying that you didn't mean to write that. Just don't recall.
Don't recall.
So you may have been meaning to write that.
I don't recall.
Okay.
If I said anything like that, I mean, I said anything I said after the shooting was lawsuit. It falls in my lawsuit. So
what?
It falls in my lawsuit. Like a crime was committed, and then whatever I say after that's pertaining to money or anything that's compensating me was with my lawyers or anything else. I had lawyers present and everything else.
Well, you didn't have a lawyer at this point, did you?
So, wait, when I spoke to John, I didn't need a lawyer. What do I need a lawyer for if I didn't say I'm getting rich? And what does getting rich have to do with a man shooting me?
What does getting rich have to do with a man shooting me? I mean, it's It's kind of what the lawsuit's about. And you should, if a guy shoots you, right? I mean, if he really does, that's catastrophically changing your life. So I'm going to apologize for some of this language, but it does get into more of impeaching the relation between him and Rocky. And this was the point finally, because I mean, there were just so many parts that were cringe and I was like, oh, stop. Throughout the trial where I was hoping somebody would jump in and be like, hey, let's just try to be cognizant of what we're saying here in open court, in a professional setting, around a jury. What people say in text messages is different and between friends and whatever. But this exchange, I believe, right after this is when somebody told the judge, or maybe it was just the judge, said, let's relax and just start using abbreviations or letters when talking about these words, because there was a very noticeable change after this exchange.
Actually, I called the same night. I called the attorneys the same day after the shooting. After he told me to go to the police, on November 7th, I had an attorney. I think I went in the police station with him. I didn't have an attorney. Like, I signed the paper. I signed the paper, lawyer, client privilege, whatever. And then me and him met. So pretty much, I was waiting on the lawyer to go to the precinct to finish doing what I needed to do. So I didn't want to go to the precinct by myself. That was on November 8th, right? So I would have to see. I would have to go through my and check myself. And so.
Okay. Now, you did remember seeing a message yesterday on text that you sent to your friend Justin Pineda saying, on November 7th, 2021, saying, I want to get this nigga's money, right? Remember seeing that yesterday?
Yeah, that was after the shooting.
Obviously. Right? You saw that?
Yeah, correct.
And this nigga that you're talking about was Robbie, right?
I mean, I heard the dad, yeah.
I didn't ask you that. I said,
yeah, I mean, that's
obvious, obvious, right? Obvious.
Okay. Now, when we were bringing up to talk to him, just say,
the successful music and shoot.
Right. I mean, he's bleeding.
He's what?
Bleeding. Yeah, he's famous. You know?
So, couple F-bombs, couple N-words in there, and eventually, or right after this, everything changed with that. So we move on into some more abbreviations, which is good. Then there's another part where the victim starts talking about how you're trying to make it seem like I have something against this dude, meaning Rocky. Oh, also, there was, you know, what the victim said there was like, oh yeah, it's obvious I'm talking about Rocky. And it's like, that's not a good look for the victim either, because a couple things that have seemed obvious you have said is not you or is not what you were saying. So, yeah. They're going through more text messages again to prove that he did not like Rocky, is what the defense is trying to show here.
Which one? Oh, the one up there. Let's scroll down, please, a little bit. Right there. Exactly my point, you're right. July 24th, FU and ASAP, fake ass N, effing movie.
Right? FU and ASAP, fake ass N. This was literally 5 minutes later, after like a 10-minute break, and everything changes with the abbreviations. But nevertheless, they're talking about how Relly thought Rocky said he was going to pay for either a funeral to move somebody's body that's a friend, and he didn't. He was mad. And Relly's like, I was disappointed. I wasn't mad. But again, things stacking up as to why Relly might not like Rocky, which again, in my opinion, is fine.
The guy who got no animosity towards, right?
It's not animosity. That's those are names.
It's July.
You trying to make me look like I got some type of animosity towards this dude? I don't. I never did. Never. Today, I still don't. I'm trying to do
it. This day, I still don't, now he says. Which again, the lawyer didn't dig into that, but that contradicts what he said all trial. He said, not up until the shooting, but after the shooting, then he was dead to me. I knew it was all changed. We were never going to be friends again, whatever. And also, again, once again, it would make sense if you have something against this dude now, if you believe he shot you, right?
I mean, what are we talking about here? Is there a message?
He's just asking you about the words in the text. That's all he's asking.
What was the question? What was the question?
What was the question? That happened multiple times as well. All right, we're going to jump ahead a few minutes for the next explosive battle between lawyers and witnesses.
Were you upset with Rocky?
What does that mean to you? I mean, if somebody's saying they're going to pay for your friend's body,
yeah.
I'm not upset, but I'm disappointed.
Okay. So,
and I didn't even know because I never got a text back saying, oh, bro, I paid for it or anything. It just left me on red because I know what you're about to say. You're about to say my text message and we can pull it up.
Oh, it's up.
Okay, cool.
Did he go to Rock, by the way? In fact, I said, he referenced text message. That's how
you are.
It's
shown. But I still understand how it's relevant.
This, I believe, relates to possible bias. That's an objection.
The judge even says, I'm going to let him discuss this because it relates to possible bias. Again, you don't want the judge saying that in front of the jury. That's a sidebar conversation.
Okay. In any event, you found out that Rocky later paid for the entire funeral, correct?
You never found out?
Page 94 of the preliminary hearing transcript, lines 21 through 26. I'm going to read your sworn
testimony. I'm going to read your sworn testimony.
21 through 26 on page 94. Question. Do you now know that Rocky paid for the entire funeral? Answered by you? Yeah. That was on the road.
This morning. I found out that day.
Right, sir?
Again?
Sorry,
what?
That's telling me under oath.
You ready?
Stop. That question is asked the preliminary hearing. That answer was given at the preliminary hearing.
Under oath. Okay. And as you testified, you might have to read through it again.
You were
upset about that, right?
No, can you read it again, please?
Sure. Question 94, lines 1 to 2. You were upset, right? Answer, yeah. Okay.
Impeachment after impeachment.
It's like, you were upset, right? No, I wasn't upset. I was disappointed. You knew that Rocky actually did end up paying for it. No, I didn't know that. Okay, let's look at the preliminary hearing. Yes, you knew. And yes, you said you were upset. Little things that aren't important, but they become big things if you change your testimony.
And for the kid's body,
what you thought.
Yeah, I would be upset.
But you later found out that.
So he just changed his mind now. Yeah, I am upset.
Correct.
How did I find out? Through preliminary hearing? Is that what you told me? How did I find out?
I just read it. I'll read it again.
No, you. How did I find out?
Sir, how about you?
You obviously know.
I know what you said.
You said it. Mr. Zacapina.
Right. I mean,
okay. See, you're supposed to.
All right. You got it.
You got to be clear.
Stop. Sorry. You've elicited what he said at the preliminary hearing.
Here we go.
Who wants something else?
I'm going to read him his answer. Question. Lines 21 through 76 on page 94. Do you now know that Rocky paid for the entire funeral? Answer, yeah, I heard that later. Okay, that's your under oath testimony. Now, because of...
All right, actually, we're going to listen a little more there.
You thinking he did it in November and October of 2021, that he did it, pay for the body to be flown back to Josh's funeral, you were upset with Rocky, right?
Upset about what?
Okay. On November 16th, 2021, here we go. You sent a text message to someone you called, Taiwai, threatening, if Rocky don't do shit with this boy, funeral, I'm going to beat that N-word up. Did you send that message?
I don't recall.
Okay, we'll jump to you.
Okay.
This was my message. Put it out this.
Again, multiple times, he's going to say, I'm going to beat Rocky up.
Just another text?
So, yeah, you rule on this one, sir.
What else is like?
And then he shows them some text messages. So he just got impeached over and over and over again. Then we get to some potential text messages that the defense say existed on Relly's phone that he deleted. And at first he says, oh, that's fake. Again, just like the recordings. And then the judge has to step in and he's like, oh, never mind. Maybe it's not fake. And the judge is like, so did you delete those text messages? The judge is asking, and he ends up having to say yes, and we'll see and read what those text messages were that he deleted off of his phone and never mentioned, and the state never mentioned them until it's on cross. And the state gets mad, and they say, well, judge, this is unfair because it came from the defendant's phone. It's like, why is that unfair? Your guy should have known he sent them and that he deleted them, and if he was being honest, he would have told you that.
You know what we are looking at.
By the way, you worked this earlier, and they read this morning. This one. This was fronted earlier than due. This one
was. The defense is going to show an exhibit. They have to show it to you first.
You need this.
That's it. That they're going to show. All right. Can you look at it?
Let's see it again.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. See, what wasn't on your phone, but remained on Rocky's phone, was what you deleted,
Your Honor,
Mr. Efron.
Your Honor, that is no argument.
Hold on.
It's argument.
Okay. Do you see the text messages you sent at
this is fake.
A.M.?
It's fake.
It's fake also.
It's fake. I've never seen it. You don't even write.
He literally starts out, it's fake. It's fake. I've never seen this. He don't write like that. I've never seen this. It's fake. Which is exactly what he sounded like when he first heard the recordings that he said was not him. It was fake. But listen to, he immediately changes like, oh, okay, yeah, that's real.
Write like that. This dude, we're not writing. No. What are you talking about?
By the way, it says, you got all these fake animosity towards me, LOL, beat me up, and I wish you would. Give me a reason, and you been P. And then Rocky responds with, where you at? The text message we've already seen. But those four clearly fighting words from Relly, which again, if you're beefing, you're beefing. But he deleted all them and never mentioned it until the defense brings it up. Guess what? That's not a good look.
Supposed to be working right here?
No, sir. No, sir.
That's you writing to Rocky.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's right. Rocky's responding to you. W-Y-A.
And he's like, oh, I thought you meant Rocky said that to me. He didn't. It's like, okay. We've already been over these other texts a bunch of times.
Stop up my calls. You saw that yesterday. And you wrote on the front of Trader Joe's.
Yeah, because that's when I seen the party. So that was at 6 when obviously, when I heard him saying he was going to beat me up and do everything else under the moon.
Right. So you wrote that message to me.
I did.
Right. Okay. Why did you delete that from yourself before you turned to law enforcement?
That was just,
I did not just stop.
Not enough. Did you delete that text from
so yourself? So the lawyer's like, why did you delete it before law enforcement? The prosecutor's like, stop, objection, that's facts on evidence. So the judge is like, you know what, Mr. Prosecutor, chill. Let me get this fact in evidence real quick. Did you delete him, Relly? Literally, that's what happened. The judge is like, I'm going to put this fact in evidence.
I did not just stop.
Not in evidence. Did you delete that text from your cell phone?
Yeah, but I didn't delete it because I handed over to
Did you delete it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's like, yeah, I deleted it. With a straight face, like it's no big deal. Yeah, but I didn't delete it for that reason. That's what he's saying. I didn't delete it because of that. It's like, It doesn't flow with the story you've been telling. It's wild. It's crazy that people do stuff like this. And then with a straight face saying, no, that's not why I did it.
Question out.
Why did you delete that screen before you turned your phone over to law enforcement?
So once again, Takapina's like, so why did you delete it before you turned it over to law enforcement? And we have a long pause.
I'm going to beat me up because of.
He's asked, you already said you did delete it. He's asking, why did you delete it?
I think I deleted this whole message, and that's why it popped up a whole new one.
He's asking you why?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay. All right.
Which, if you're not going to say I deleted it so it doesn't make me look bad, I don't remember is probably the second best answer you can give. So he's like, I really don't remember. Because to try to explain it now, thinking on your feet like that could get you into trouble.
Anyway, but if it was me, I would have kept it. I mean,
Anyway, you testified yesterday to this jury that when you went to meet Rocky on November 6th, that you weren't.
I know I went to go meet him.
You gotta let him finish the question.
You testified to this jury yesterday that when you went to go meet Rocky on November 6th, you weren't wanting to have a physical fight. Remember saying that to the jury?
Is that the day of the shooting?
Yes, sir. That's November 6th. What's that?
Okay. But what was your question? Can you say it again?
You testified to this jury yesterday
mm-hmm.
that on November 6th, when you were going to meet Rocky, you weren't wanting to have a physical fight with him, right?
I said in preliminary hearing, and I said yesterday, this is 3 years ago, I said it.
Yes,
a fight is a fight. Like, I don't mind a fight, but I still want to fight. Right?
Mr. Effron, that's not, you're answering a question that he didn't ask. Okay. Ask the question again.
Sure. See this jury here? You told the jury yesterday that on November 6th, when you were going to meet Rocky, you weren't wanting to have a physical fight. You were saying that yesterday.
Yes.
No.
don't really know about that.
Well, at that point, do you think anyone was going to believe the message decision?
I really don't care, because it's not. What does that, that doesn't mean bring a gun.
That's your answer.
So he impeaches him saying, well, you said you didn't want to have a physical fight. Sure sounds like you wanted to have a physical fight with these text messages. That was the point of them. So then right before the day ends, and a good move by the defense attorney not to really blow this up into a big deal, because it when I heard it, I was like, you got to be kidding me. Is this guy serious? This is when I was all the way out on Relly, okay? I try to give him the benefit of the doubt, especially the victim. Some of the stuff I think he might not be being truthful with, I don't think is that big of a deal. But this made me think he is willing to do and say whatever he can at this point, because everybody should know this is not what you should say. It's not what you're allowed to say. Frankly, the judge could have held him in contempt, I feel like, when you say something like this on the stand as a victim, when you obviously know what's going on in the process. But listen to what he says at the end of the day when he's clearly frustrated, clearly feels beaten down. Listen to what he said about the process and how we know ASAP Rocky's guilty.
Bert, specifically, remember those words, sir?
He's screaming it, saying, I'll kill you.
Did he say those words, I'll kill you?
Yes.
You're sure?
Yes.
Okay. In fact, when you spoke to the district attorney, only 1 year later, in November of 2022, on tape, what you said was, you don't remember what he said because it was so long ago. Isn't that true?
I mean, that's pretty much your tactic you had since day one, drag it out. But if I'm refreshed...
That's your tactic since day one, drag it out. But here we go. That's not what I had a problem with. This is what I had a problem with.
I remember. It's been 3 years. If he was innocent, he would be home a long time ago.
It's been 3 years. If he was innocent, he'd be home a long time ago. Sorry, sir. That's not how it works. And I hope you know that. And I hope all of your friends and family members know that. Just because somebody accuses them of a crime and it takes a long time to get it resolved doesn't mean they're guilty. I hate stuff like that. I despise stuff like that. And he said it in front of a jury. It's totally inappropriate. Now, they might not have even picked it up. They might have missed it. Because in certain cases, that gets blown up. We have a whole hearing on what we need to do about that, give an instruction to the jury that it doesn't mean you're guilty because it's taken 3 years. But instead, the defense attorney just kind of lets it slide and they keep moving on to the next thing, which I think was probably better. And hopefully the jury puts no stock in that, because they shouldn't, because it doesn't mean anything and it doesn't prove anything. I hate stuff like that. And I think he did it on purpose, and you can kind of tell by the look on his face. All right, so that was day one of cross-examination, but guess what? There are 2 days. And like I said, we're diving deep. We're doing the entirety of the cross-examination here on this podcast. So let's get into one of the first things he talks about, which I actually think was a good move by Relly. Early in the day two of prosecuting, he says, they start talking about, was it a real or fake weapon, things like that. And he says kind of the common sense thing I think a lot of people are asking, and I think would have been the best kind of argument, a little bit of sarcasm for the prosecution to what the defense is in this case.
That's true flex, right?
I don't kill it, man. You don't kill, so I don't know what it does.
But you don't know him to carry guns, correct?
He said, I mean, it's, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, one thing you know is for sure he doesn't carry prop guns. That you know.
I mean, who carries a prop gun?
That's what you know, right?
Who's going to come to a situation and carry a prop gun?
Mr. Efron,
it's not a question.
Mr. Tacopita is asking you a question.
I don't.
Who carries a prop gun? Who's going to bring a prop gun to a situation like that? I kind of agree with him. Common sense is like, really? Is it a prop gun? That's the better argument. Yeah, I like money. Yeah, I'm suing him because he shot me. He should pay me because he shot me. It messed me up and it ruined my career because he's now blaming it on me. You're calling me an extortionist. Yeah, I post on Instagram to look like a big shot and I'm not as big shot as I have. Yeah, my girlfriends loan me money. Yeah, I try to look cool and sound cool in front of my friends. Yeah, I try to sound tough in front of Rocky. I never thought he was going to pull a weapon on me and fire it. If it would have been a fist fight, let's go. I'm ready for a fist fight. I fist fought a lot of times in my life. Never have I had a close friend pull a weapon on me and ruin my life. That should have been the story. That should have been the testimony. And I think it could have been believable. And it could have been what happened that day. But now it's like, you don't know what to believe. And the state has the burden to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. This is their star key witness. You have to believe him in order to come to a guilty verdict. Who carries a prop gun? I think that was a good answer. Then, of course, another impeachment. But this time the judge locked him in. It's like, were you afraid of Rocky after you saw the gun? He said, yes. He said, I just had a gun pulled on me. Yes. The judge even locks him into it. than impeachment, because at the preliminary hearing, he said, no, I wasn't afraid. So, so bad. I cannot tell you how many times he was impeached. I am only playing you a fraction of the amount of times this witness was impeached by the preliminary hearing, by videos, by text messages, by Instagram, by recordings. Then they start getting into, you know, did you say shoot that fake gun at me? He says no. But they mix in the fact that they kind of did line up the questioning. Again, really good preparation from the defense. They line up the, was it a prop gun cut type of deal? And then you weren't afraid right after it. And you said, shoot that fake gun. That all kind of goes together. If you knew it was a prop gun, that's why you weren't afraid. That's why you even kind of acted tough and said, use it, because you knew it was fake. Then they get into some things he told law enforcement and whether or not it's in the police report. If it's in the police report, would that mean it's wrong?
Who said that? That was your first version, correct?
What?
I never said that. When you say what? You
don't understand the question. I didn't understand the question.
You didn't understand the question. When you first reported this incident to the police on November 8th, 2021, you told the police that the person you saw with the knife was ill. It's not true.
No, I never said that.
Never said that. So if that were a police report, that would be wrong.
It would be wrong.
Okay.
You want to lock that in if you're the defense, because the recording is wrong, the text messages are wrong, they're fake, everybody else is lying, including the police reports are wrong. That's what you want. You, everybody else is wrong except for him, is the type of argument you want to make as a lawyer.
You got the police report?
I do. Hold on. Remember everybody's role?
He's like, you got the police report? And Takapina's like, actually, I do. The judge is like, chill. You answer questions, he asks questions. That's how this works.
He asks the questions, you answer the questions. If you don't ask him questions, he won't answer the real questions. If he asks, you answer, okay? That's what we're doing. All right?
The lawyer's like, well, since you asked, would you like to see it? Because guess what? Police reports don't come into evidence because they're hearsay. And he's like, well, you asked, would you like to see it? We can read it out loud here for everybody. And now he's going to get into evidence that he might not have been able to get into because of how this is going.
Something, show it. You're going to be honest, it's improper impeachment. It's not a statement of the witness. No.
Explain.
You're right. It's not a statement of the witness.
Oh, wait.
It's not a statement. It's a summary.
It's not.
Yeah, we need to go across. Let me see it. No one's going to go across. Just let me see what you're talking about.
And they argue because the state knows this is not good. They talk a little bit about whether he liked or hated Ills before. He said he felt something on his hand when the shots were fired, so he assumed he got shot. He didn't trust LA. That's why he went to New York for everything he did with lawyers and doctors, etc. That's why he didn't seek medical attention right away. The lawyer tries to mention drugs. Takapina tries to get into drugs. Objection sustained, clearly. Then we get to the casings. They talk a little bit about the video where he did say it was him, even though the prosecutor clearly wanted him to not say it was him, who showed up earlier than when he found the casings. He did say he went back with his girlfriend. And then, for whatever reason, I mean, I think we know why at this point with Takapina, he wants to show a picture of his girlfriend and say, is this your girlfriend? And I was like, that's weird. Why would we need to see a picture of his girlfriend? And then as soon as he shows it to the prosecutor, listen to the prosecutor's reaction. This is him just getting into, is this Relly's girlfriend that he went back to the scene with? Is this your girlfriend? Is what he wanted to ask.
I'd like you to take a look at this photo and tell us if this is Ms. Parker.
Are you
kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
The prosecutor's like, are you kidding me? Takapina's like, I'm not kidding you.
Are you kidding me? Don't show it to anybody. Just bring it up.
The judge looks at him with such disappointment. He's like, don't show it to anybody. Just bring it up. And they have a sidebar on the issue. I mean, it's just wild. Everything, this just doesn't happen quite this often in most trials. You can have some moments, but this was like 2 days straight of chaos in this cross-examination. I wanted to read some tweets here. I don't have Twitter up though, so let me pull it up here real quick. So So Megan Cunniff, I think that's how you say it. A lot of people have been sending me stuff that she is discussing and things that she's saying because she's there, she's in the courtroom. And she posted yesterday, I believe, after this interaction, trying to find it, where the lawyers are basically yelling at each other. Really chaotic scene in court just now with the jury gone as ASAP Rocky's lawyer, Joe Tacopina, and District Attorney John Lewin yelled at each other. Lewin calling the prop gun defense garbage and Tacopina saying they'll find out what the jury thinks. It got really heated. So this is all this that happened outside the presence of the jury, thank God. But this is not stopping. This is not just happening because the cameras are rolling. And when the cameras go off, the fights are not stopping. They talk about whether he's used a firearm or not, show him shooting a firearm at the range. Again, just more impeachment type stuff. He talks about how he's not good with police. That's why he didn't want to go to the police. And then Tacopina gets into the fact that a lawyer would only take your case if you went to police. That's the only reason you went to the police. You're just trying to get money. You wouldn't even be here if it wasn't about the money. That's what the next couple clips are going to be discussing, that he is, you know, basically trying to make it seem like this is extortion. Even though the judge says nobody's calling you an extortionist, I tend to disagree. I think that's exactly what the defense is saying.
A response to that.
Before you reported the incident to the police, you understood that the only way your lawyer, Brian Hurwitz, would take your civil case is if you went to the police. Correct. Or no?
You mentioned Brian Curtis. I don't know if that's his civil lawyer for one lawsuit and Chu and Vasquez are his lawyer for a different lawsuit, or if Curtis was the first lawyer and Chu and Vasquez the second. I don't know anything about that, but I just know he's got a lot of things going on in the background and they're mentioning a lot of lawyers' names, which they're trying to make this look like a setup, so that helps.
I mean, I asked him, can I just get a civil suit, I believe, and it's a crime. So that's obvious. No, I didn't press charges.
So he told you the only way he would take your case.
He didn't tell me the only way. I'm asking him. I'm asking questions.
You are page 134, line 25, 135, line 6.
And it was so long ago, I don't remember what when I talked about with Brian.
Page 134, line 25, 135, line 6. Question. When did you first meet Mr. Hurwitz? Answer. By you. On the road that when we were here at the police station. Question. The day you made the report? Answer. No. Answer. The day. So I had my assistant reach out to a bunch of attorneys and I was waiting to hear back from whoever was going to answer. So then once Hurwitz, Brian, answered, we spoke for a little bit and he advised me that the only way he would take this case is if I go to the police department because it was a crime. You were holding that answer earlier.
So it's like, no, that's not the reason. That's not it. He didn't say that's the only reason he would take the case. And it's like, well, let me read you exactly your words, what you said before, that this was the only reason he would take the case. And he's like, okay, I guess I did say that. The manner in which he seems unfazed with completely inconsistent statements is also concerning.
We talked about that individual while he's Jimmy, who you said you knew, correct?
Who?
Wally Sajemi.
Wally? Mark?
The guy, the IT guy, right?
Mm-hmm. You know Wally, right?
Yes. All right, so Wally or Wale is an IT guy. Pretty sure if it was the Wale I was thinking, they wouldn't call him an IT guy, so it must be a different Wale.
Did you tell Wally in August of 2022 that you can't sue someone with circumstances like that without a criminal action? You say that, Wally.
I mean, that's clear. You can't sue somebody until it's a crime.
Somebody's asking. He's asking, did you tell that for a while?
Dude, that's clear. You can't sue somebody unless it's a crime. That's wrong.
I don't remember. This dude probably was baiting me, calling me. I don't know.
And that Wale was baiting him, calling him, trying to set him up, basically. So he's trying to think ahead a little and be like, if they are allowed to play this later, if Wale does testify, well, I gotta fix that.
Oof, of his voice.
So the answer's no?
No.
I'm sorry, I just want to follow up on that answer. The dude was taking you, calling you, did you say?
I mean, you tell me about private conversations that I had with this dude.
I'm asking about them.
I mean...
Because you're asking me about private conversations I had with this dude, so now are you admitting that that was you on the recording?
I mean, the phone call you played yesterday was not me.
That was not you.
That was not me.
That was fake.
That was fake. 100% fake.
Yeah. You would agree, sir, that you really didn't care about getting police involved in this case. What you really wanted was money from Rocky, right?
This is not a civil suit.
He's asking you a yes or no question. Ask the question again.
Can you ask the question again?
Sure. You agree that you really don't care about getting the police involved. Your end game was to get money from Rocky, right? Yes or no?
No, I wanted some type of protection, too. He was not giving me no type of comfort that this was not going to happen again, nor... So, regardless, I was going to...
So the answer is no?
No, I was going to...
The answer's no.
Yeah.
Well, did you tell Wally in April of 2022, I don't give an F about no police and work? You said Wally.
What's the context to that? What is that about?
I'm not this case.
But you definitely not... What are you talking about?
Taco Pina's like, it's about this case.
Yes, you made a statement to Wally.
I don't know. I don't.
Objection, Foundation. Just say.
Okay. Did you tell Wally in April of 2022 that the end game is you're going to sue the shit out of Rocky?
When? If I already have a civil suit and this dude's calling me, I'm openly telling him I have a civil suit.
Mr. Efron, somebody's asking. Please listen to his question.
I don't know. I don't
know. I'll let you listen to his question and then you can say, I don't know, or I don't remember, or yes or no. Tech Peanut, can you re-ask that
question? Sure, sure. In April of 2022, did you tell Wally the end game? I'm suing the shit out of Wally.
I don't know.
I think we know what Wale is going to say. Then they go through that he filed a lawsuit against Wale, against Rocky, assault, battery, IIED, starts going through the lawsuit. He asks what permanent physical damage you have as a result, and he says none, which to me is interesting. I haven't read the civil suit, but if he asks for future pain and suffering or future medical damages for any physical injuries, and now he says he doesn't have a permanent injury, usually a lot of claims are connected to, is this a permanent injury? A jury has to find that in order to give certain damages. He potentially could have just lost a ton from his civil suit from good questions from this criminal defense attorney helping out the civil defense attorneys. All right, then the last exchange we're going to listen to, which is basically the end of cross here, is how the lawyer is going to say, did you basically say, give me my millions and I'll go away and I'll even make this criminal case go away? Did you say that about Rocky?
Associates, managers, to pay you millions of dollars, for Rocky pay you millions of dollars to make the criminal case disappear.
That's not even up to me, but I don't know.
No.
Did you tell people that if Rocky pays you millions of dollars, you'll make the case disappear?
No.
And you never said, give me millions of dollars and I will go to an island that I can't prosecute you? Okay, no.
What? Say that again?
Sure. You never said, give me millions of dollars, and I will go to another island, and they won't be able to find me to prosecute you. You ever said any of Rocky's friends, associates, managers?
I don't remember. I never knew the amount,
Eric, that the lawyers made a demand for $30 million, correct?
I never knew the amount.
You never knew the amount, $30 million?
Was it no?
No.
Did you ever make a demand, you personally, for $30 million?
Like I said, I never seen an actual lawsuit. I never made a demand.
Stop
asking. Yeah, demand to somebody? No.
No. I'm going to ask you if you said the following. Wally's agenda. Okay, just listen to me. Tell me if you said the Wally. He, being Rocky, he's going to have to deal with that and his political ties and everything else, because once I walk away, when I get my cash, the case gets way bigger. It's just like domestic violence case. If you hit your BIPCH and your BIPCH wants to keep going through with the situation, you'll go down. But if you're not there, then they're going against the city, and it's way weaker.
Sounds like he knows this criminal process pretty well from the victim's side. He's like, if the victim doesn't, and I was not accusing him of crime, by the way. What I was referencing is him saying, if you're innocent, you don't sit and you don't wait 3 years, or if he was innocent, he'd be gone or a home a long time ago. He knows that's not true, number one. Number two, he's like, hey, if the victim goes away, the complaining witness is gone, it's a lot more difficult to prosecute you. You can make me disappear. Just give me $30 million. That's what the defense is trying to set up here. And did he actually say these things? Because if he did, by the way, what's crazy about all this in my mind is a crime could very easily still have been committed. You can still pay victims, as we've seen it, to go away, even if they are a real victim and a crime has been committed. It just looks a lot worse and a lot shadier.
If I'm not there, if he pays me out in Rocky, via through my lawsuit, I'll walk away, basically. It's going to be hard for the DA to find me because I'm going to be on another island just relaxing. You get what I'm saying? They're going to be scrambling to find me because now they have to go against Rocky to save me. And yeah, they have evidence of this and that, the third, but it's not going to be the same when you present it to the jury and you don't have the complaining witness. Did you ever say that to Wallace, Jimmy?
No.
You did? Okay.
And he said, no, he never said it. And they can't impeach him right now, but this is why. This is why the 50 impeachments they've already done are so important, because he said no with that same exact straight face over and over again throughout cross-examination, and then was impeached and either changed his answer or had a previous very inconsistent statement with what that answer is. That's why it's so important to do all that before you get to the crux of the argument as the defense, because at this point, I'll just tell you how I'm listening. I'm like, yeah, right. I don't believe him. If they call somebody else to say he did say it, I'm going to believe them. If they play a recording, I'm going to believe the recording right now because it's just happened too many times to him.
So now, we're going to do what we've done a few times already. I'm going to bring up a recording, let you hear it, and you're going to tell me if it's you.
So, I mean, he's not excited about this, but they bring up a recording again, and look at how quick he says this is not him. He said, that's not me. You can move it after about 5 or 10 seconds.
I'm sorry. Something happened.
No, it's not me.
Taco Pina didn't even have enough time to walk back to the podium. He's like, wait, did something happen? He's like, it's not me. I heard it. That's music to Taco Pina's ears. At this point, in a good defense, a good lawyer, not just defense attorney, a good lawyer can work with whatever the answer is on cross. If they lie and say no, great, let's ride. If they say yes, that's what you want, and now you move on with that yes and you build on it.
How long that recording did you hear?
Hard enough.
How
long? I don't know. She's played this. I heard it. Didn't sound like you.
Didn't sound like you?
No.
Is that a fake also?
I don't know. You tell me. Clint won't take the fake stuff in front of me.
The attorney's like, is that fake? He's like, you're putting all this fake stuff in front of me. He's like, am I? Or am I putting, if I was the attorney, I would have been like, were the text messages you deleted fake? Was your Instagram account fake? Was the video of you at the scene fake? I would have asked those questions. He didn't ask them, but I mean, this is multiple days into cross and hindsight's 2020, but it's like, we both agree. Certainly, was the preliminary hearing fake? Because all these things I'm impeaching you with, even you agree are not fake. The only thing you say is fake is the recordings.
What fake stuff am I putting in front of you?
I don't know. You're just too Wally. I don't know. You just keep putting this fake stuff in front of me.
Are you saying you don't know who Wally is? Sir, are you saying
not real?
You don't know who Wally is?
It's not real. I don't know him. I met him. I don't know of him. I know him. But this is beyond me.
Have you used Wally doing work here?
No. You asked him one time to get me verified. I told you that.
Okay.
You kept in conversation with me. Obviously, now I know why.
What do you mean I know why? What do you mean I know why?
That's it.
I thought it was kind of weird.
Stop.
In the first place.
He's like, what do you mean now? You know why? I thought all these conversations were fake.
Stop. Ask another question.
What did you just mean in this room? You said, now you know why. That conversation was weird.
I mean, he always hits me up asking me how I'm doing. Yo, that's fucked up. You know, Rocky, you're my brother. It's like, it's weird. He's baiting me. Into like spoofing my voice and doing something, because now all of a sudden
he's baiting me into spoofing my voice. Relly really thinks he outsmarted everybody here, saying, you know, oh yeah, this guy keeps calling me because he just wants my voice so he can spoof it and create these fake recordings. That's what he's going with here. I don't find that to be a strong argument. You guys can let me know in the chat if you disagree.
Coming to me talking about why they're doing this, that, and the third, and none of that, none of the conversations I have, none of them, don't even start like that. I don't even sound like that. He's more so asking, yo, how's the case going? Yo, that's fucked up. And I asked him, yo, you still work for Rocky? He said, no, I don't work for him. Ain't nobody really, there's no real emotional thing.
So you've had conversations?
Not those conversations. I mean, he calls me. He calls me probably once a month, every 2-3 months, and asks me very vague questions. Oh, how's it going, my brother? Oh, what's this?
So you didn't have
no conversation? No, that was just fake. Those is fake.
So you heard about 3 seconds.
It don't matter. How would you know? You over there. She's playing it here.
Because I counted 1, 2, 3. You want to hear the whole conversation?
No. Sure. No. Sure. No. I just want this over.
He said it's not him.
So that's where we're going to end the cross, because basically they wind it up here and he sets it up where he did talk to Wally. He does know what Wally or Wale, whatever his name is, but those conversations were fake. And now we know why, because Wally kept calling him to try to spoof his voice and bait him into saying things. So this trial is just heating up. I think there's still a couple more weeks left, but this was the main witness. This was the key witness. And according to the defense, in order to vote guilty, you have to believe him. So their entire cross was making him unbelievable. And you tell me what you think at the end. Did you believe Relly? Did you not? And if you didn't believe him, do you think there still is a chance the state can prove this case beyond a reasonable doubt against ASAP Rocky? That's really the question I have for you guys as potential jurors that you're watching this. So put that in the comment section if you're watching on YouTube or Twitter. And let me know what you think about this testimony, this cross-examination. Thank you guys for watching and listening. If you're listening to the podcast, please leave a 5-star review. It helps us out a ton. If you're watching anywhere else, give us a like and make sure you're subscribed on whatever platform you watch. Till next time, I am out of here. Thanks for watching another episode of The Lawyer You Know. If you enjoyed the episode, please hit the thumbs up and share with your friends who may be interested here on YouTube. And don't forget to subscribe. You can also follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok. And don't forget to check out The Lawyer You Know podcast with new seasons dropping every quarter. If you have a case you want to talk to us about, if it's a personal injury case, wrongful death, catastrophic injury, car accident, or slip and fall case, please email us at lawyeryouknow@gmail.com. And of course, all these links I just mentioned are included in the description below on this episode and every episode. So until next time, this is Peter Tragos, The Lawyer You Know.